When the founder and editor of Elevated Existence magazine, Tammy Masterbirdy, lost her mother, suddenly and unexpectedly, rather than wallow in sadness and despair, she used this life-changing chapter in her life to fuel her passion and begin the journey to what has now become her award-winning magazine on spirituality and self-improvement. Among the topics we covered in this full and very conversational interview were life after death and communication with our loved ones in spirit, reincarnation and past life regression, synchronicity, universal guidance, and of course her magazine, in which she has featured some of the most well-known names in spirituality, media, and entertainment. This interview, originally recorded in February of this year, we are calling Conscious Creation in the New World. Take a listen. Thank you so much, Tammy, for joining us in the beginning of 2013. There's a lot on the horizon, and I know you covering so many stories around this with Elevated Existence. You know about that. But I wanted to start out by asking a question and tell you how I kind of came across Elevated Existence, your magazine, some months back. And I think I was reading your bio in which you talked about your spiritual path being ignited by the sudden death of your mother. And you also, it also said that it took 8 years of searching and you began to uncover the purpose and synchronicity behind many of the events in your life, including the death of your mother. And I thought maybe you could spend a few minutes talking about this and really talking about why is it that so many of us seem to need a trigger to go on that spiritual search?
Sure. Well, I think that I know it was true for me, and I know it's true for a lot of the people that I interview, whether they're, you know, top authors, whether they're celebrities, or whether they're just, you know, somebody who just came out with a book and they're new to the world in terms of their work. What I find is that there's always something. There's always some type of trigger, like you said. And I think it's because some type of life-altering event is what kind of brings us back and makes us start questioning things, makes us start questioning ourselves, what we're doing here, whether it be the death of someone that we love, whether it be some type of diagnosis of an illness. Some type of pain experience is usually kind of what brings us to our knees and makes us look for help beyond ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so for me, it definitely started when I was 22, and at the time I was actually recovering from an eating disorder. And so I was finally kind of coming out of struggling with anorexia for a number of years. Mm-hmm. And my I remember it was right around Christmas time that I remember saying to my mother specifically, you know, I haven't felt happy in a long time, and I really feel good. And it was 1999, so it was around 3 days after Christmas that she had a brain aneurysm. Hmm. And so it was, I wasn't even actually here, I was in Atlantic City. A friend of mine had turned 21, so we went to Atlantic City. She wanted to celebrate her birthday and, you know, be able to gamble. So we went to Atlantic City with her parents, and so there was no goodbye, there was no, I left the house and I said, you know, I'll see you later, I'll call you from down there. You know, this is before cell phone, so it was, you know, I'll call you from the payphone when we're mm-hmm. when we're on our way back. And and then that was the last time I spoke with her. So I think to me that kind of just sent me down a road where I grew up Italian Catholic, so, you know, my mother went to church every week, and I went to Catholic school through eighth grade, and so I always had a faith within me. I always believed that there was something beyond me. Mm-hmm. But I think after a while, I kind of started to question things, and it just wasn't resonating with me completely anymore, which I think happens to a lot of people, no matter what their upbringing and what their faith is. And so after she passed away, my sister, my older sister, who kind of believed more in mediumship and in life after death and things like that, and had actually had conversations with my mother, who, again, like I said, was very Catholic and very devoted to her faith, but who was also very open to the fact that there is life you know, beyond this physical realm, and did actually believe there was a certain medium. His name was George Anderson. He was very popular back then.
Sure, I know
and,
who that is.
So he had written a book, and I literally remember sitting in my living room talking to my mother with my sister about this, and her, who had lost both her parents at this time, had said, oh, I would love to go and see him someday and hear from my parents, and still was very open to it. And after she passed away, my sister was just on me. We have to make an appointment with this guy. You know, there was no closure. It's not like she died from an illness and we knew it was coming. You know, it was just mm-hmm. like one day she's here, the next day she's not. And, you know, there's so much left unsaid and we have to go. And so I'm a Virgo. I'm very skeptical. And so I was just kind of like, oh, you know, I don't know. It's a lot of money. And, you know, we have to go to Long Island. And so it took me a while to kind of convince me to go. And what was interesting is there was all these events that kept popping up where all of a sudden George Anderson was interviewed on Lifetime, and my sister would call me and tell me to put the channel on. Then I think it was Channel 4 or one of the main channels did an hour special on him where he did readings and all this. Mm-hmm. And she kept saying, see, I'm telling you, he keeps popping up. This is a sign. We have to go.
Wow.
So finally I said to her, all right. I said, well, if you're going to do it, I'm going with you. So, and again, we were still skeptical. And we literally mailed in a money order and we put somebody else's name on it, a different address, a different phone number, because, you know, back then I was thinking, well, he could research and, you know, like, I mean, not that he, I mean, I don't know how he would do it, but in my head I was thinking, if this is for real, I want to really know that he knows nothing about me before I walk in the door.
That's right.
And, you know, you don't deal with him. You obviously, at this point, like I said, it wasn't as popular as it is today. You couldn't just send an email. You had to actually send a letter, and you had to send a money order, and it was all done through the mail, and then you would get a letter in the mail saying this is your date. So I think we actually went for the session. It was in October. She died in 1999, and I think it was the October of 2000, so it was about 10 months later that we had this appointment. And we went, and he was amazing, and we were able to tape it. And I just remember walking into the session hoping that I was going to get something out of it and leaving just hysterically crying. And I think I stayed like that for 3 days where I was just in utter and complete shock at what he was able to bring through, things he was able to say that I never spoke out loud to anyone that right. obviously, you know, my mother was aware of. And so it just literally opened my eyes to a whole other world.
Isn't that
And
simple?
I think at that point, I really started searching for something that I could hold on to that made sense to me, something that incorporated this understanding that I was gaining mm-hmm. and that I could find something. So, I mean, of course, I researched every type of thing. I've read so many books. I looked into Buddhism and all these different things. And I just remember one night saying a prayer and saying, you know, I'm really trying to find some meaning. I'm really trying to understand something and find something that I can hold on to, that I can believe in. Please, you know, and I actually said a prayer to God and to my mother, you know, if you're out there, I know you were Catholic, but is there something you can help me find? And I think it was like a few days later, I wound up finding Dr. Wayne Dyer
yes.
on PBS. He does that special all the time, and this was a special on his book, The Power of Intention.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember watching it and sitting up and I mean, I was in bed watching it, and I remember sitting up and thinking, oh my God, why is this making sense to me? Whatever he's saying is making sense to me. I have to get this book. And it just kind of like escalated from there. And within a couple of years, I had started the magazine after that.
Oh my goodness, Tammy. I had no idea the story would be so full. And obviously we could go off on a tangent just talking about the whole issue of life after death and connecting with loved ones in spirit. And I don't know if you've done any research on my work, but I've covered that subject extensively. In fact, I'm very familiar with George Anderson. In fact, he was featured in a special that I think was done back in the maybe mid to late 90s on mm-hmm. HBO called Life After Life, which was really looking at a series of mediums. And testing that was done with those mediums under the guidance of Dr. Gary Schwartz. John Edward was also included in that. And I think you can still find it, maybe even on YouTube, but it's a fantastic portrayal, or really, it was a documentary, but really gave some very profound evidence for there being some, there is some aspect of consciousness that continues and that we're very close to that realm. But, and as a matter of fact, I interviewed John Edward, my gosh, back in 2000 when he had his show Crossing Over. I interviewed him on the set of Crossing Over and continue to be amazed. I mean, these are such elusive subjects in the process. We just don't understand, but I'm clearly convinced that the consciousness of an individual can't be annihilated. It's there. Oh, no. And I think that, you know, there are times when we make contact with that realm. So that's amazing. I would actually love to talk to you more about that, perhaps in a future interview.
Oh, sure. Yeah. But... No, honestly, that I'm so passionate about that because I really feel that when somebody, I mean, we've Elevated Existence has even done events locally with different mediums and stuff because I'm so passionate about it that I feel that when you really realize the truth of the fact that we do go on and that our loved ones are around us, that they see everything that's going on, that life continues and that they're still the same soul and spirit they were, they're just without a body, that it just literally opens your eyes to a whole other existence, a whole other world, and you almost can't look at life the same. So to me, it's just one of the most powerful things I've ever gone through.
Right, right. Did you have any subsequent contact with your mom, Tammy, after you met with George Anderson, perhaps in a dream? Or I've heard so many different scenarios where, in some cases, the loved one would literally show up at the end of the bed, the edge of the bed. Anything?
Oh yeah. So yeah. What's interesting about my situation is that I honestly have dreamt about my mother and had powerful dreams about my mother since she passed away. I mean, I remember a specific dream the year after she passed away where I literally was just asking her questions about what it was like over there and she was answering them. Like, I just remember just, and it was just like, I would wake up and I felt like, oh my God, I definitely just visited with my mother. Like, yeah. To this day, I dream about her all the time. Sometimes she's just in the background hanging out, watching what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes there's actual, you know, communication. One time I even had a dream of her where she was singing a song to me, and like holding me almost like I was still like an infant and singing this song to me that, that was popular today. It wasn't popular when she, you know, at the time that I had the dream. And then all of a sudden I would hear that song. And to this day, whenever I hear certain songs, mm-hmm. I know that she either knows I just did something or just wants me to know she's around me. But in addition to that, because of the work that I do and because of what I started getting involved in, what's funny is that, I interview people and are, you know, I have editors who work with me, and then I also have contributing writers. And so anything that goes into the magazine or on the website is, you know, something that resonates with me or resonates with someone around me. So what's funny is I would go and interview people that I had no idea that maybe they had this gift or that they were able to communicate or anything like that. Their resume and everything that I was going to interview them about said nothing about it. And I would walk into an interview and this has happened, I mean, it literally just happened a week ago. Mm-hmm. I mean, it happens all the time where all of a sudden at the end of the interview, somebody will say to me, listen, you know, I don't publicly talk about this, but, you know, I have the ability to communicate and your mother's here. And I would just...
Oh, my goodness.
I would just be like, excuse me? You know, I mean, it happens all the time. And I
really?
Just... That's what I think amazes me about it is that we are so guided. And I think the more you're open to it, whether it be a loved one or whether it be, you know, just somebody on the other side or, you know, angels, spirit guides, whatever you want to call them, I just feel like we're so guided and there's so many ways that they try to get through to us. And what's funny about me is I've become friendly with people who are mediums and who do this work. And so I actually hear from my mother. I joke that I hear from her more now than I did when she was alive.
Isn't that something? But, wow.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, it's just amazing to me and I'm grateful for it. And she's, you know, she always has things to say about the work that I'm doing or, you know, yells at me that I need to write my book and write my story and different things like that.
Well, I'm going to yell at you too, because I think now I'm going to bring your mother through. You absolutely do need to write your story, Tammy. It's an amazing one. And I want to make sure that we talk more offline about this because I want to share some things with you. I'll say very briefly, I lost my mother In 1996, a year after I married my husband, and she had a long illness, so it wasn't a total shock, but it's never something that you're prepared for. But,
oh, of course, yeah.
I have to tell you, in similar fashion, I have had more contact with my mother in various forms, too much to get into right now, almost more than, well, I can't say more than when she was alive because we were very close, but I dream of her constantly. And, you know, I'm sure you know that dreams is also a very fascinating topic, but there are dreams and then there are dreams in which you are clear that you are with that individual. And happens every day. You know, I've had experiences where I felt my mother's presence here in our home in which I grew up, that I'm still in. There's no doubt that that essence is still there and is interacting. But that's, again, we're going to go off on a whole tangent there, and it's very tempting, but we'll for sure talk about it. But I want to, you know, none of these things are in a vacuum. Well, let's sort of transition a little bit and talk about. So you have this absolutely huge experience. It wasn't just the death of your mother. It was all of the synchronicities that began to unfold after the fact. And that certainly justifies a spiritual search. And so eventually you were led to start Elevated Existence. And, you know, the theme for today's discussion is conscious creation in the new world.
Mm-hmm.
And you created Elevated Existence with a conscious intention to provide empowering information for a large audience. And you did it. What was that experience like for you when you decided to go for it and start this magazine?
Well, I had been in the magazine industry as a writer and an editor for about 10 years, 11 years at the time, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've always enjoyed taking information, interviewing people, and then creating something that can kind of help people, no matter what industry I was writing about, whether I was writing about, you know, technology to run a business, or if I was writing about, you know, how to lay tile on a floor. I mean, it didn't matter. I just always enjoyed taking it and putting it into a work that kind of helped other people understand whatever it was I was trying to convey. So I think after I got, when I really got involved more in the spiritual and the self-improvement field, obviously, I really wanted to start talking about that, and I'm from the East Coast, so I worked in New York City at the time, and there was the Chopra Center in New York at the time, and so I wound up taking a class there and learning meditation. And I think about a year after that, after learning meditation, I kind of made the decision that I definitely wanted to work for myself. I wasn't sure what I wanted to do, and I remember it was in January. Of 2008, and I was complaining to a friend of mine, saying, you know, I really want to write about these topics, but there's not a lot of magazines or you know, places in New York. Everybody seemed like they were in California and were in Arizona, and I said, I don't want to move. I like the East Coast, but, you know, I'm not sure. And so it just in complaining and saying, I really just want to write about these topics, she said to me, well, you've been doing this for 10-plus years. I mean, I think you know how to do a magazine. Why don't you just start one?
Hmm.
And I thought she was out of her mind when she first said it, and I was like, oh, yeah, I'm just going to go start a company. And literally, I guess something sparked in me, and I said, well, why can't I? And like I said, I'm a Virgo. I'm very structured. I don't fly by the seat of my pants. I'm very, you know, I take my time. I think all the angles. I think too much. But for some reason, there was no hesitation with me once I decided to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And within 2 months, I had started the, I formed an LLC, I created the name, I trademarked the name, and by June of that year, I had launched a website and the first edition of the magazine with Deepak Chopra on the cover.
Isn't it
literally took off from there. And like I said, it just was like there was never a doubt in my mind. Once I decided to do it, I just did it. And I was like, of course, this is what I'm going to do.
And you never looked back. You know, I say, Tammy, that, and I think there's semblance of this quote everywhere, if you follow your life's purpose, the universe will more than meet you halfway.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we, you know, as human beings, we tend to question so much, you know, I want to do this, but, and we're going to, I actually had a question that would deal with this. We have dreams, and yet we're still so afraid, many of us, to pursue them because I think we've been sort of indoctrinated into this model of what we should do versus what our our joy is. And, you know, for some of us that are blessed enough to just follow that inner voice and not look back. And again, this is why I wanted to have you on the show, to really drive that message home to our audience. And obviously we have an audience that's very, very, I would say, a student, and not only in the subject matter, but in these sorts of things and natural evolution. But these are the types of things that more and more of us need to be encouraged to do, literally to follow our dreams. And you did it. And I commend you so much. So on that note, what advice would you give to those maybe who are having big dreams, but, you know, but they're afraid to pursue it, or they believe it can't be done? I mean, we live in a society, unfortunately, that, where, especially in this country, you know, dreams can come true. I've got to tell you, let me just digress for a minute. Speaking of dreams coming true, we just got word today, my husband and I, that a dear friend of ours has been named, interim senator, U.S. senator to fill Kerry's seat, who now Secretary of State Kerry. And I am thrilled. He's a good friend of ours, and he had been in our governor's chief of staff. And wow, just today, he was named interim U.S. senator until the special election. I'm thrilled for him, but I bring that up in this context because he spoke at the press conference of, you know, coming from, you know, a set of circumstances that would seem on the surface, there's just no way I could do X, Y, and Z. Mm-hmm. But he had a mother. He had a mother and has a mother who encouraged him to go for his dreams and to, you know, by no means let anyone undermine those dreams. And now he's standing here as our next U.S. senator for the interim and the second African-American U.S. senator in the history of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. So I had to digress and get that, and I'm so happy for William Mo Cowan, Senator Cowan. I'm just thrilled. Dreams can come true. Dreams absolutely can come true. And I say to people, we own our dreams. No one can take that away from us. But still, there are so many people that feel many aren't even bothering to dream anymore because they're so caught up in the day-to-day rigors. What would you say to those people to say you can and must pursue your dreams?
I think for me, I can just tell you how I view it is that, I still have days where I question, you know, am I doing the right thing or which way, you know, what with small little things. And what I find is that, number one, you can't do it by yourself. You have to kind of surrender and know that you're being guided and know that if you are coming from a good place, if you are coming from your heart, if you are wanting to put something good into the world, number one, what I always do is I put it out there to a higher power. I ask for signs to let me know that, that I'm on the right path. Mm-hmm. I ask for guidance and I ask for help. And I always ask that my eyes and my heart and my mind and my ears are open to that guidance so that I'm aware of when it comes to me. And I believe also, I think some people, and I know I used to too, like when somebody said to me, you know, my friend said, you should start a magazine. I immediately was like, are you out of your mind? How am I going to do that? And so I think people think in extremes, and I think you just have to do small steps. If you know you want to do something, and you know you want to create something, and you know you want to start a business, or you want to write a book, or you want to do something that seems impossible, you don't have to alter your life dramatically right away. You can take small steps toward it. I started the magazine while I still had a job, because I said, well, let me just throw this out there and see what happens before I... You know, I was not just going to quit my job and say, let me see what happens. You know, that wasn't... I'm sure there's people who can do that, but to me, that didn't work. I wanted to take small steps. And as you become acclimated to it and you start realizing, wait a minute, I am being guided. Wait a minute, doors are opening. Wait a minute, that I got that email or I got that invitation or I was able to do something that I didn't think I was able to do. You start realizing and finding comfort in the fact that you are being guided and that you are able to do these things and being grateful for every little thing that happens to you.
That's right.
Helps Absolutely. To shift your energy as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I call those signposts, you know, the universe I feel is conscious and is speaking to us all the time. And I think you're very wise, Tammy. I can tell by just the way you've approached this and continue to approach your life and your work. If you are open, the universe is always talking. You know, sometimes we kind of get in our own way, or maybe get in the universe's way. We don't hear the messages, but, you know, you had a very clear intention, and the universe. Now, perhaps, let's say it wasn't to be, perhaps the universe would have given you signals to the contrary. You know, it will speak either way. But in your case, it was giving you, you sort of put out, here's how I'm going to go about doing this. And that's a very Virgo thing, to hold on to that job.
Right. Oh, and that's like I said. That was, you know, I was like, what am I? I'm not that crazy. I'm not going full force.
Oh, there's some of us that
are. You know what I mean? But I think some people think, oh, I have, you know, I'm going to have to do. No, you can take small steps and then follow the guidance that comes to you. And that's basically what I've done since I started this.
And that worked for you. That's great. And I've seen, you know, total opposite ends of the spectrum. I think everybody has their own path. But I think just, again, the fact that you are attuned to the energy of the universe speaking to you. And I know that may sound woo-woo to some of you out there. We can use whatever language we want. But I do feel really, really feel that the universe is an intelligent and conscious being, and we are of it. And so we can train ourselves to listen to that voice, what we call the still small voice within. Mm-hmm. Let's move on a little bit. I want to talk about some of the people that you've interviewed, and it's clear. I mean, I've looked at several of your issues, and you have really managed to get the attention of some very esteemed folks in media, in entertainment, authors, you name it. And it's refreshing to see people like Jane Fonda and Russell Simmons and Olivia Newton-John share their stories about spiritual growth. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we tend to equate these people with the very media-driven images of celebrity and brand. And you've managed to get these people to talk about very intimate spiritual subjects in some cases. What are your thoughts on that? What's that been like?
What's interesting is, like I said, no matter who I interview, I always say, you know, what started you on this path? What made you start searching for more? And everybody always has some type of a story. Olivia Newton-John, she lost somebody in her life, and that was something that sparked her as well. And so I think what's amazingly interesting, well, not so amazing, but interesting about a lot of these celebrities that I speak with is that they have what everyone thinks they need in order to be happy. Mm-hmm. They have, you know, whether it be fame, whether it be money, whether it be, you know, whatever lifestyle that someone, you know, may think, oh, well, I would be happy if I was them also. And they've all kind of gone down a spiritual path at some point. I mean, Russell Simmons was heavy into drugs at one point, and now he's a vegan, and he does yoga every day, and he meditates twice a day, and he's written more than one book about how to succeed in business, doing working from your heart and doing things that resonate with you. Mm-hmm. And so what I find inspiring about them is that they all have, like I said, what people think are these things that they want, and yet they all look for more. They all were not satisfied with the money, with the fame, with whatever it is. They all found themselves down very much the same path that anyone else would find themselves down when things are not going right for them. So I just find it inspiring, and I think that it's important to show that, because I think no matter what happens in your life, we're all human beings here, you know, we're spiritual beings in a human body, I believe, and we're all searching for the same thing. And I feel like you can learn from those who have attained what you may believe is the ultimate goal, but are still now giving back to others and realizing this, you know, it's about giving, it's not about getting. And Russell Simmons is huge with that. He's amazing. You know, if you follow him on Twitter, his tweets are always amazing and inspiring. And so that's really where I decided I wanted to kind of showcase that and show people, you know, this is beyond just the group of people. Like you said, people think it's a little woo-woo and crazy and whatever, but there are these well-known people who are embracing these concepts and who are not only learning to live their lives that way, but are writing books. And Olivia Newton-John has beautiful CDs based on spiritual principles And so, and what they're doing is taking that and giving back and using their platforms to give back in order to help other people. And to me, that's the ultimate goal. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's nothing more inspiring than that.
This is really what I think we're talking about here, conscious creation in the new world. You know, mm-hmm. I think there was a time, and by the way, I come from media and entertainment. You know, I've interfaced with a lot of these people. I'll date myself, but gosh, 25, 26 years. And these conversations were not happening as readily back then as they are now.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly not publicly, and in many cases, not even privately. You know, maybe there was some sense of, you know, fear of ridicule, you know, being in the spotlight and kind of taking that step and going into the, quote, woo-woo, or it's perceived woo, it really isn't. I think
right.
Shirley MacLaine was one of the first to sort of very openly go into her journey of reincarnation.
Yeah, we actually gave her one of our annual spiritual service awards, Shirley MacLaine.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
But this, to me, Tammy, is indicative of the new world that we're certainly living in. You're finding these names that have been traditionally aligned with glitz and glamour wanting to talk more
mm-hmm.
about their spiritual journey. And I mean, I think even Jim Carrey
yes.
has kind of gone in this direction. And I haven't followed that aspect of him too much, but I find that very interesting. You know, these
mm-hmm.
people are very smart. They realize that they've seized the attention of a lot of people, and perhaps they're having their own spiritual epiphany that, hey, now that I've got their attention, let's guide them in the right direction. You know, one of authenticity, really.
Mm-hmm.
So I applaud your diligence in bringing their stories to us. That's great. And speaking of which, let's talk about Jane Fonda. I loved the article, the cover story, that I think you did. Was it in 2011?
Yes.
With Jane
mm-hmm.
Fonda. And, you know, I was particularly struck by her candor when she talked about the story behind the strained relationship she had with her mother.
Mm-hmm.
And, I can't remember exactly the scenario, but I believe it was quite a few years after her mother had passed that she came upon some information, some medical records even, and
mm-hmm.
some journaling that her mother had done that talked about child abuse, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was that sort of serendipitous stumbling upon this information that allowed Jane Fonda to heal from that strained relationship.
Yeah.
And that's absolutely fantastic. Give me your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I think, well, you know what, it's interesting because, that, you know, a lot of the, whatever spiritual tradition or whatever, you know, author or whatever you read, really, everybody always talks about forgiveness and being able to forgive. And sometimes it's so hard when you don't have that file in front of you, when you don't have that information,
mm-hmm.
You know. But what I think, what's interesting about her story, is I think that resonates with a lot of people. So many times you don't really understand somebody until sometimes after they're gone or after
that's
the
right.
fact. And I think that that's true in everyday relationships also. You don't always know what's going on. You know, people show you one side of themselves, but you don't know what's going on behind the scenes per se.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I think was interesting with her is that she kind of found that out, and that was, you know, what she found out was able to kind of crack open her heart, and she was able to have compassion for her mother and for the situation, and then understand it. And what I think about her sharing that is that it's kind of a lesson for all of us sometimes, is even if we don't have that file in front of us, even if we don't have that backstory to understand, we can know in our hearts that there could be more to a story, there could be more going on, there could be, you know, something that we don't understand, and we can achieve that healing without the file is what I'm trying to say. And so I think her story is powerful in that aspect, is we don't always know what's going on, and that, you know, we are all human beings here existing and trying to understand one another and carrying resentments and different things like that. But I think that it was that forgiveness for her that really cracked everything open.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that she was able to kind of put behind her so much that she had carried with her for so long. But I think that we can achieve that without evidence,
mm-hmm.
basically.
Well, you know, to your point, a little while ago, you had mentioned that, you know, we do have guidance. the mm-hmm. universe, God, whatever we wish to call that intelligent, all-loving energy, knows where our deficiencies are, if you will, or mm-hmm. the things that we're struggling with. And, you know, that file was, in a sense, her being, she was guided to it. She had
100%.
To 100%. So whether we, you know, where we may not find the file, we might find something else that would sort of explain why a relationship was so strained after the fact. But I think you make a good point. We don't necessarily need the file. Excuse me. When you are in a relationship that you feel is, that is tumultuous, and you feel that that individual is, has issues, let's just say, and
right.
these, who doesn't have issues of some
course.
Sort, and invariably those issues will be put on the partner on some level, I would imagine. If we can assume in advance, and we have to be sort of wise about this, that there is some underlying cause to the behavior that we don't like so much, we can achieve forgiveness before the file, without the file. I think that's what you're saying, and
Absolutely.
I agree.
Absolutely. And on top of that, too, there's always a lesson in it also.
Always.
You know what I mean? I always find that there's always lessons in any kind of challenge or any difficulty. And so, you know, whenever something happens in my life that maybe I wasn't expecting or I wasn't prepared for or that's upsetting or frustrating, I always think to myself, I know that there's a lesson in this, and I know that I might not know it right now, but at some point in the future, it'll become aware. I'll mm-hmm. become aware of it. And the reason I know that now is because if I look back in the past, there's so many things that have happened to me that I didn't understand at the time, but looking back now, I can understand.
Right.
And I think with that awareness, we can kind of look at the different difficulties in our life and understand that there is something that we need to learn. And even if it's just shifting out of fearful thinking into more love-based thinking. I mean, it could be a small lesson, but whatever it is, I think that we can kind of learn from our past and move forward with it. And even if you don't understand that lesson right now, knowing that eventually there is meaning beyond. I mean, there was meaning beyond her maybe not knowing that for her whole life and then finding that file at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
There's always meaning, and there's always what seems like chaos to us is not always necessarily chaos.
Right, right. Well, you know, this is a perfect segue because to your point about there's meaning, even in the pain, there's a lesson
mm-hmm.
to be learned. This would also be in alignment with what Marianne Williamson said in the story that the cover story that you did with her. I'll read a quote. It says, and this is in relation to relationships, love and relationships. It says,
mm-hmm.
love can be the most exhilarating human emotion one can experience. It can change life in an instant and take us places we never dreamt possible. But love can also shatter our heart, trigger old wounds, and cause indescribable pain. Both sides of the coin are reasons to celebrate. Both sides of the coin, the romance and the love and even the pain of a relationship. And I think there's similar messages there, yes?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. And I mean, she's amazing and one of my favorite authors that I ever read. And all her work is based on A Course in Miracles. And she's very, very much teaches about, you know, whether it be a relationship or a circumstance, they're all assignments by the universe. They're all lessons for us to learn. And so that's why we can learn through the amazing experiences, and we can learn through the painful experiences.
That's right.
And
yeah.
That's kind of what, and that article that you're referring to was based on, she did a whole seminar in LA on love relationships, which is huge for so many people,
mm-hmm.
and how the Course in Miracles views that, views love relationships.
That's
and
great.
So
yeah.
It was an amazing course, and that's why we decided to make that the cover story of that issue.
I can imagine a lot of people, and I know so many that are struggling in relationships or looking for a relationship. This is absolutely necessary information right now. And you know, you speak about how she refers to assignments. She also said the ego sees the assignment as someone who will give me what I think I need to compensate for the lack that exists in me, but the universe is invested
mm-hmm.
in your soul growth, not in your imagined need. That's powerful.
Oh, absolutely. And it's so true when you think about, you know, whether it be past relationships or current relationships, I think, and especially a romantic love is just where so many people, it's like your brain goes out the window and you're completely, you're just like, you get thrown into, you know, whatever, and she even said, you know, whatever spirituality, oh, we think we're spiritual and we, you know, namaste and we're all love, and then you fall in love. And it's like, it just goes out the window and, you know, your brain becomes mush and you forget anything that you've learned. And I think what's interesting about it is that we think, oh, I need to find somebody to make me whole. I need to find my other half, they people say. And what she says is, no, you know, the universe doesn't want you to find a romantic love to make everything wonderful in your life. The universe wants you to find a romantic love to pull out everything that every wound that you have, everything that you have, in order for it to be healed. Hmm. So if you're in a relationship that is sometimes brings out that stuff, sometimes it's meant to happen that way so that you can actually heal those wounds within you. So
if you recognize it, so many times.
It's a whole new way of looking at relationships, and which I find fascinating. So and she has a whole book called Enchanted Love just based on that topic, which is amazing.
Are you going to do something on the website? Now, I think this isn't current issue, obviously, but since we're approaching Valentine's Day,
mm-hmm.
wouldn't it be neat to do something perhaps on the website? Even could you reprint the article? Because I think so many people need to see that.
Oh, yeah. Well, there actually is on the website, there is, if you go into our blog section and into author interviews, there is a section of it that we did print on the website.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see some of that. But yeah, we can definitely put some more up. And Valentine's Day, we're going to do a whole thing on different books, on love relationships, our picks for that, and also some product picks and stuff like that.
Excellent. That's great. Well, I'm going to encourage everyone to go to your website. It's elevatedexistence.com, yes?
Yes.
Okay. And we'll talk about that a little bit on the back end. But I want to transition from love and relationships to past lives. Ha.
Oh, yeah.
Dr. Brian Weiss, who does not love the work that he has done? He's really a trailblazer, and I know that he was also one of your cover stories.
Mm-hmm.
I find this subject so incredibly profound and very important. And, you know, I recently interviewed author and a dear friend of mine, actually, Rosemary Ellen Guiley. She's a paranormal researcher, about her new book, Soul Journeys. And she advocates past life regression as an approach to healing on all levels. And I think there was a similar theme coming out with Dr. Weiss's work.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems that this form of therapy has become very popular in alternative circles. And I think it's slowly reaching the mainstream. What do you think this is due to?
Well, what's interesting about Brian Weiss is he was kind of the first person who had a degree, who was a psychiatrist. He was like the head of the Department of Psychiatry at the hospital that he worked at in Florida. This was 30 years ago. And he was the first person with his background to go out on record and say, listen, I was doing sessions with somebody and I was using hypnotic regression to take them back to childhood, and suddenly all these other lives came out. So I think his work is amazing because he actually had the guts to take that and put it on record and write a book about it, which is Many Lives, Many Masters.
That's
and that
right.
was, I think it was about 30 years ago. But he, what I think is as we're moving, especially from 2012 to 2013, I know everybody was scared that the world was going to end. I was never afraid that the world was going to end. I was actually, I was looking forward to it. And I kind of feel like people who follow this work are looking forward to the fact that so many people are awakening and waking up to the fact that there is more. And so I think past life regression is just a part of that. It's similar to mediumship and believing that life goes on. And so moving forward from that is not only does life goes on, but, you know, we take this trip many times.
Mm-hmm.
And so what his work does and what so many people now who, I mean, he's trained so many people around the world to do this work, and therapists to do this work in their practice to help people. What he finds, and what in the interview that I did with him and his daughter, actually, they had a book called Miracles Happen that they wrote together. That was all testimonials from people who just wrote letters in about their own experiences with past life regression. And what he found is that he wanted to go on record because he saw the healing that was happening. And not only healing on a physical level, where people would, you know, if they had back pain, they would go into a past life and they'd realize, you know, they were lanced with a sword in the back in you know, the whatever century they went back to, and then suddenly they came back to this century and the pain was gone. So he saw the physical healing, but what he saw was people healing from the grief of losing someone, or from the death of a loved one, or from their own fear of death and their own fear of dying, because they realized this is not the only life that you get. This is not, when you're separated from a loved one in this life, it's a temporary separation. You are going to see them again. And, you know, your mother in this life could be your child in the next life. And mm-hmm. he saw how this information was really kind of opening people's minds and healing their own fear about their lives, about death, and about, you know, the grief of losing a loved one. And so I think that's what this work is doing for people. And like I said, I feel like it's almost an extension of, okay, well, I believe in mediums being able to communicate, and I believe that we go on. And then you take it a step further and you say, well, there's just these lessons that we continually come back and we continually learn. And it just, it continues to kind of expand your awareness and expand the healing that's possible. And so I was just very moved by his books and his work, and he had a new book coming out. So, and what's interesting is when I interviewed him, I had never had a past life regression. Mm-hmm. So I scheduled one for myself, by someone who trained under him, in New York City. And it was really, honestly, I feel like until you have one, you can think about it and read about it and think it's amazing. But when you actually experience it yourself, it's beyond amazing. I don't know if you've ever had one, but
I haven't. Can you share with us a little bit of what you learned? Do you feel comfortable with that?
Yeah, sure. It was, you know, I think, what was interesting is I went with my sister and I had it done, and she, you know, the session that they do, well, the one that I went to in New York, her name is Michelle Brock. She's excellent. What's funny is it was me and my sister, so we were able to watch each other. Whereas normally, I guess if you go with someone else, you would want a session on your own. But me and my sister, we were just going to tell each other everything that happened in this session anyway. So we said, let's just, you know, spy on one another and we can take notes for each other. And so she had it done, and she kind of jumped between three different lives. And so she had an experience of three different past lives. And for me, what was funny is before she did the regression, the woman said, you know, normally I have you, it's very rare that you stay in the same life. You know, I've only seen it happen a handful of times. Most of the time when I have you move forward to the next significant event, you'll go to another life. So for me, of course, I was stuck in the same life for all three times, which I laughed at afterwards. I said, of course, me, why would I do anything normal? So, but I think what was interesting is you almost feel like when you're in it, you're making, you know, you're imagining these things, but, mm-hmm. but you're afterwards, you realize, oh my God, wait a minute. There's a reason that I went to that particular life. And I think what I learned from it. And to me, I went back I went back to the life right before this one, according to what I discovered. And what she said beforehand and what Brian Weiss says also is that when you go into a past life regression, the universe is so brilliant. And so it takes you to the life where you right now need to address something in your current life. Uh-huh. So whether it be something physical ailing you, whether it be something that you need to know for your own personal growth in order to move to the next level in your current life, that's the past life that you'll go to. So I went to like I said, I think it was the life before this one, and I discovered that my niece and nephew in this life were actually my children in a previous life. Mm-hmm. And it just resonated so strong with me because I've always been so close to them, and I've always felt like, you know, I've always felt like I'm their mother. Like, I yell at them, and I tell them, what are you doing? And I talk to my sister, and I say, no, we have to figure this out. What are they doing? You know, and I'm so invested in them. And now I know why. I'm like, oh my God, because I it's almost like they came here through my sister this time instead of me for whatever reason. You know, I decided to do that. I'm sure as I have children, as I grow older, I have a different lesson to learn with them. Right. But it's just so amazing to me that it made so much sense to me because I've always felt that way about them. And they've always felt that way about me. I mean, when I walked in the house, even when they were babies, like, they wanted nothing to do with my sister. They just wanted me if I was in the house. It just makes so much sense. So yeah. Like I said, what's funny is I had the past life regression, and like a couple of weeks afterwards, I just kept thinking about it and thinking about it. And the more time that I spent on it, the more things started making sense to me, and I actually went back and I visited an ex-boyfriend who was my husband in another life, and I understood why he came back with me in this life and that we weren't meant to be together in this life and why. And it was just, it makes you want to have more and more and more, because it makes you want to think, well, what else do I need to know? Like, what else is going on that can help me? And it was honestly, I can't wait to have another one, because it was just such a great experience. And even my sister, she kind of left and like her mind was blown. She was like, wait a minute. I was like, she had a past life where she was a man in war. And she died as a teenager in I think it was like the 1800s or something like that. I mean, it was unbelievable.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so I just think that that's another experience that I'm so, and that's why I had it on the cover, because I just felt like whenever something resonates so strongly with me, I want to put it out there. I want to get it out there. I want other people to know about it. And so that's something that is still, you know, and we're actually planning, Elevated Existence is going to do an event in New York with, the woman who did my past life regression, who's working on a book now. And so I kind of feel like I want to get the word out there as much as I can and have people experience this, because again, like I said, it shifts you. These types of experiences shift you in a way that you can't look at life the same way. And that's the best experiences you can have.
And everyone needs to have that experience, some sort of experience that would do that for them. And in fact, I believe that most people have had, Tammy, experiences that, you know, we might call anomalous or questionable. And, you know, part of my work as a writer, and I've been writing in this field for a dozen years or so, mm-hmm. is to not ignore these experiences. They are trying to nudge us. And I think now mm-hmm. more than ever, more than that, just really hit us over the head and say, you are so much more than what you think you are. And these experiences are the means by which you can understand just how powerful you are. You know, I just finished my first book called Conscious Musings, in which I spend the majority of the book talking about, you know, society and our world the way it is versus how it could be. Should we begin to pay more attention to these little innuendos, these little experiences? Sometimes they're big experiences, but they cannot afford to be ignored right now, because I think we've marginalized ourselves by accepting sort of the party line of what we are and what this world is and certainly what we're capable of. And so I think we're seeing a movement of that, certainly with the work that you're doing, with the work that I'm doing and so many other people to, you know, when you have a dream, an intuition, get a past life regression, talk to your deceased mother, whatever the case, see a ghost. These are not fanciful novelty things, and they should not be put in that context. These are vital pieces of information. And to me, this is the universe definitely nudging us to say, we can't afford to ignore this phenomena anymore. I personally think that paranormal is a misnomer. This is mm-hmm. really normal. We've been indoctrinated into something else that we think is normal, but this is really normal.
Oh, absolutely. And so many people, I mean, I remember, I think it was last year or so, I interviewed James Van Praagh also, who's an amazing medium. And so many people who are doing this work are saying, they call it the veil is getting thinner and thinner, or,
yes.
you know, more and more people are having these experiences. More and more people are getting signs from a loved one, or like you said, having a dream where someone appears at the end of the bed and they think, you know, what in the world was that? Why, you know, or somebody comes to you in a dream that passed on and they apologize in the dream and it feels so real. Well, because it was real. That was them telling you that they were sorry for whatever they did. I just think more and more people are opening up to it. Mm-hmm. I think more people are ready for it. I think there's no coincidence that all these problems in the world are happening now, because like we started this interview saying, sometimes when all of these things happen and you drop to your knees, that's when you start looking up and you start saying, there's got to be more, help me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think more and more people are awakening, they're having these experiences, and they're no longer discounting these experiences. They're not looking at these things as coincidences, or, oh, isn't that strange, such and such happened, or isn't that so weird, I was thinking about so and so and I haven't talked to them in 2 years and then they called me an hour later. Well, no, that's not strange, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think people are, they're opening up to it more, and I think that's why we are seeing the shifts that are happening, and I believe personally that it's going to continue, and that it's going to open up even more and more. And I am beyond happy to be a part of it.
Yes, as am I, and as we know, our who we love so much, Greg Braden, and the work that he has done, and really talking about that divine matrix, that for which we are all inextricably linked. You know, could it be that connection to that matrix is allowing for these experiences to happen, those telepathic experiences, and being able to reach through the veil? And now more than ever with the veil, I agree. I do believe whatever that veil is, it is indeed thinning and blurring. And as we evolve in our own humanity, we will perhaps have even more experiences and contact with these infinite dimensions that we're really a part of.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, listen, we're winding down. This has been, you know, everything that we've talked about, we could have an hour discussion about.
I know. I feel
things.
Like there's so many topics we touched on.
Absolutely. And we will definitely talk again. But I want to ask you in closing, well, first of all, I just want to talk about the magazine a little bit. It's such a user-friendly guide, Tammy. You have it laid out so nicely. And, you know, for those that are seeking wellness on all levels, I think this is the magazine for them. You know, I love the elevated ideas and the meditation room and the soul connections that you have in every issue. They're like little nuggets that you can extract from. But tell me, what's next for Elevated Existence? Who are you looking to interview, and what can we expect to see?
Well, actually, right now we're working on our March issue, which I'm so excited. I just recently went into the city, into New York, to interview newly named New York Times bestselling author Gabrielle Bernstein, whose work is similar in that it's based on A Course in Miracles, but she takes a very very different approach that I think is really gonna reach audiences maybe who are younger, and her kind of takes like a hip approach to it, if for lack of a better term. And so her work, she has a new book called May Cause Miracles, and which is amazing, and it's full of exercises that really that again would be anybody who's looking to consciously create your own life or you know, touch the lives of others, just gives you these subtle shifts that you can do every day, and it's a 40-day layout of exercises. So she's going to be our cover story for the March issue. But we are, you know, we're looking to basically just expand columns and expand more. You know, I want to cover conscious parenting and conscious business. And
absolutely.
And we're going to have a new column, Food as Medicine, because I think that's such a part of wellness and self-improvement is really looking at the food that we eat and that we take in as actually medicinal rather than looking to actual medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we're starting new columns. Sonia Choquette, who's a best-selling Hay House author,
is going to be writing. Yes.
She's contributing a column every issue,
starting
with the March issue. So, and we're going to be looking at maybe do some supplements this year to the four issues that we do. And so and definitely launching events as well. So there's a lot coming.
There's a lot coming. You know, I'll actually be interviewing Sonia for an upcoming, I don't know if I'm supposed to talk about it. Let's just say a program that we'll be doing on Conscious Life News. I'll be speaking with Sonia, and I've been dealing with her office in Chicago. She's lovely.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just got such an art for articulation of these, you know, concepts that people
100%.
Can understand. So Tammy, this has been wonderful. Tell us the website again. And any other information you'd like to give us?
www.elevatedexistence.com. And of course, we just launched a YouTube channel where we actually interviewed Greg Braden. You can watch on there. And we're on Twitter and Facebook. And I actually just joined Twitter myself. So it's evolving and it's interesting. But there's so many free articles that you can read on there. Of course, subscribe to the magazine, which is four times a year. And then we have a free monthly newsletter as well.
Excellent. Well, I encourage everyone to check it out, elevatedexistence.com. Tammy, thank you so much. And I wish you all the best. You're a dear.
You as well. Thank you so much for having me.
Okay. The universe is so brilliant. It always seems to know what we need, whether it's through the ultimate tragedy or an unexpected gift that can positively change the course of our lives. Tammy Masterbirdy is a living testimony to how, when we listen to universal guidance, we can find ourselves on a path of true evolution, fulfillment, and pure joy. To learn more about Elevated Existence Magazine, you can click on the link below. Thank you for listening to Conscious Inquiry. Until next time, I'm Alexis Brooks.